Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz and the Fantasy Prince, my man, Sean Angle. And that was a great recap of what's been going on in the hockey playoffs with George Kurtz in the previous segment. So hopefully George's Cinderella team, because I was asking him, with the Golden Knights going very far into the playoffs last season, they made it to the finals, right, George? And they ended up losing, I believe. Obviously they did, because the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. but you were telling me that the
good analysis
Islanders
there.
How do you like that, right? You know, I know my hockey.
That was good.
But to your point about, you question why hockey hasn't really caught on in the States. I think it might have to do a little bit with the scoring. But I think that if once people actually watch a live hockey game, it's a whole different animal as opposed to you're watching it on TV. You know, when you're there live at the game, it's just a whole different feel. And as all those overtime games yesterday as well, just like you're at the edge of your seat, So nothing like watching playoff hockey.
Yeah, I think the fact that people can't follow the puck, it's hard. It can be hard to find on TV.
Remember when they put that little blip on,
the Fox spot?
Yeah.
The trail of fire, it's going to be red if it's really hard. That was sort of silly. It really was sort of silly. But I get why they tried. I do, because I think that is the reason why people don't watch, because they can't follow the puck. They can't see it.
Right.
So I get the idea. Didn't work out very well as far as execution is concerned.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked some hockey last segment. We've been talking baseball. We're going to get into the Giants-Rockies box score in a second. We've also been, highlighting the fact that tonight is the Game of Thrones season premiere of the final season. I've been quizzing these guys throughout the show, and I'll give them another question. This one's a little tougher, so you can listen up, Sean, as well. What's the location where most of the scenes in the north below the wall are filmed? So your choices are Dublin, Bath, Croatia, or Belfast? And I pretty much, this would be a total guess on my part.
I have no idea. Who the hell would know this? I'll say it's not Croatia. I'll knock that out. Uh-huh. I don't think it's Belfast. Dublin, Bath. I guess it was Dublin. Maybe we'd know about it. I'll give me Bath.
Okay. That's your answer?
It's the one I haven't heard of.
Right, and what's your answer there, Sean?
I do not actually notice, so I am going to take a guess. Hey. Most of Game of Thrones scenes, I do know that a lot of them are filmed in Dublin, but I don't think the scenes in the wall particularly are in Dublin, so I am also going to go with Bath here, too.
Remember, the question says, most scenes in the north below the wall. And actually, it is a Belfast. And look, I think you just have to be a super deep Game of Thrones fan to know that question. I had no idea myself. That's, I guess, for the people that are really, really into the show. So, some of these questions are a little easier than others. I'll tell you what, I'll give you one more, but I'll give you the question, then we'll do Giants-Rockies, and then we'll come back to the answer here. So, which character besides Jon Snow. Jon Snow has also died and been resurrected by a red priest. So Gendry Waters, the Hound, Beryl Dondarrion, or Robb Stark? So I know it's not Robb Stark. But, yeah, we'll come back to this. So see, some of the questions are easier than others. That was a little tough for me. But I guess if you're really into the show and have rewatched it recently. See, I'm not finished rewatching it, George. So, all right. So Giants 5, Rockies 2. Giants now 7-9. Rockies, Rockies 3-12, George. And we kind of alluded to their issues yesterday. I mean, look, they have lots of injuries. You know, Daniel Murphy, Ryan McMahon, David Dahl. You know, you were hoping that you get a full season out of David Dahl, and I don't think that this injury is super. It doesn't sound like he's going to be out for a very long time. But just this guy, when you even go back to his minor league career, he's got tons of talent, power, speed, could hit for average. But it's always been bitten by the injury bug David Dahl has. But when you look at the numbers offensively. For the Rockies, you're taking it back, right? They're batting .203 on the season, have a .313 slugging percentage, and a wOBA of just .250, 9 home runs as a team. Chris Davis with a K has more than that, right? Cody Bellinger last night hit his 9th home run. So these are kind of shocking numbers, George.
They are. I mean, and it's certainly not good. I think when it comes down to this, all the Rockies aren't hitting. Right, it's not just one guy here. Most of them aren't hitting. Yeah, Trevor Story is actually doing fine, but most aren't hitting here. So I'm not going to get on any one guy here. I mean, the weather's been pretty brutal. I mean, Colorado had a blizzard that canceled the game the other day, so maybe that's part of it. Maybe once again, these guys don't hit in April. Whatever it might be, it's not just one guy. So I don't want to, I don't want to nail one person going, "What the hell is going on here?" So you give him a chance. Mm-hmm. You be patient here. But, I mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to release Blackman or Arenado, all right? Desmond, okay, you can think about that. But odds of you did, he'll be picked up by somebody else who's going to have some hope.
Right away.
Figure it out, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's always going to be the issue here. So it's April 14th. I'm going to be patient.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Desmond batting .151 on the season. I mean, we'll talk a little DFS later. I think he might actually he has a pretty good matchup in DFS today, but we'll talk about that later. For the Giants, Buster Posey, 2-for-4, batting .227. Kevin Pillar, 1-for-3, hit his 4th home run of the season. Doesn't it seem, maybe it's just me, that, you know, since he's been traded from the Blue Jays, you know, his name is always... you always see highlights of him hitting home runs. And even with the Giants, he's batting like .189 or something. So that kind of surprises me. I expected him to have better numbers just overall. But 4th home run of the season. Bumgarner, Madison Bumgarner, we talked about him yesterday because there was a story about the Phillies kicking the tires. It looks like the Giants are still looking to possibly move him. And he went 1-for-3 yesterday. And, he's known for his hitting, but more importantly, of course, pitched 7 innings, 7 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, gave up a home run to Mark Reynolds, a 3.12 ERA on the season. I know his overall numbers have been trending downward, but I think he's still got something left there, George.
Something left? Depends on what you your definition is there. He's not going to help the Giants this year. This is a bad team. They should be thinking about moving him for as much as they can get as soon as they can do it. Because, he falls apart or it just hits that age barrier, whatever it might be. They're not going to get the value there. That being said, he's their legacy player. Are they going to want to move him? It'd be tough. I mean, I don't think you're going to get the hole you think you're going to get. You're not going to get what the Yankees got for Chapman. What the White Sox got for Quintana. You're not going to get that kind of hole. You're getting top prospects back. I think that's an issue there. That's what they're going to want, to sort of justify that. And I think that'd be very tough to get because he's just of that age where he's not – no one's expecting him to be an ace now if he comes along. But that being said, if I'm a Giants, I'm certainly working the phones. I want to see what's out there. Pitching is scarce in baseball, and he could still help a contender.
Mm-hmm. Is there a preferred landing spot for him? In terms of where you'd feel more comfortable, you know, using him in fantasy? You know, I know that that's gives you a choice of 30 teams, but I mean, would you prefer that he stays in the NL as opposed to going to the AL? Obviously, the team that's seems to be interested in him, or is kicking the tires, the Phillies. They're an NL team, but then again, they play in a, you know, a hitter's park.
Listen, you almost always prefer, you know, a pitcher to pitch in the National League. You pitch against pitchers. Mm-hmm. You pitch against generally the eighth place batters are terrible. It's weaker lineups overall. So you almost always prefer, you know, the pitcher in the National League. So I would say yes, National League, without knowing which team. Yeah, Philadelphia would be a problem. It could be, you know, what do you want here? Better chance, do you need W's or your ratios? You know, strikeouts shouldn't really matter no matter what park you fit pitches in. Ratios would go up. Certainly go up Philadelphia over San Fran. He's going from the, what, maybe the best pitcher's park in the majors to one of the best hitter's parks in the majors. So, yeah, that would be a problem. And Philadelphia, I think, would be a team that would be in on it. I think they need another pitcher. So I don't think it's idiotic to talk about the Phillies in it, as far as Bumgarner people there. That being said, I don't think this comes to a head until June. I think that's when we'll really start hearing the Bumgarner rumors as we get closer to the deadline. And you know it. What does Andrew Brandt like to say? Deadline spurs action. Same thing here. The Giants will believe they can get more at the deadline than they can now or in May or even in June.
Just as a reference, Bumgarner pitched 21 innings in his career at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, 3.86 ERA. So, 1.095 whip. So just use that as a reference. But let's face it, he's not the same pitcher that he was in the past. In this game, before we go, Sam Dyson got the save, his first of the season. Do you make anything out of that, George, or was it because Will Smith pitched the night before? Needed.
I think it's just because Will Smith was needed a night off. I assume that's all it is. You know, so I wouldn't be we see this a lot during the season, right? A guy throws him enough certain amount of pitches, can't pitch the day before, the night after. So I don't think there's an injury to worry about here. I don't think there's a change in the closer. I just think, once again, it's a one-game thing. Relax.
Right. All right. I'm relaxed. I'm taking it easy. Did you guys have a chance to think of that that question there? Which character besides Jon Snow, I like saying Jon Snow, because depending on who he's talking to, that's how they refer to him. They also call him the Bastard. But anyway, has also died and been resurrected by a red priest. It was either Gendry Waters, the Hound, Beric Dondarrion, or Robb Stark.
Yeah, I actually know this answer.
Do you?
I know the answers. Yeah, I know this one. So I'll let Sean go first.
Okay.
Wasn't this Gendry? Not 100% sure, but I think it was Gendry.
All right, George?
Beric.
Yeah. Beric Dondarrion. And I had to be honest with you, I had to Google his name, you know, because I didn't know the answer, so I checked, you know, the answer key. And, Beric Dondarrion. Who the heck is this guy, George? Do you know? And how do you know that he was...
It's just one of those
the
weird
Lord
things
of Blackhaven.
I would have never known that. It just sticks in my head that he got resurrected. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I guess I like the actor. Maybe that's why. Yeah, that's why it sticks in my head. But yes, that's the one where I was positive of.
Yeah, so Beric Dondarrion, Lord Beric, is rumored to have been killed in the battle at Mummer's Ford. Beric Dondarrion brought back by the Red Priest, as well as Jon Snow. So I guess we could move on. Take a look at the Nationals, Pirates, box score. Nationals beat the Pirates 3-2. They're both 7-6 now. Home runs for the Nationals, Adam Eaton. He also went 3-for-4. Run batted in, run scored. Howie Kendrick playing second base, 1-for-2. You wonder, that's just got to be, given Dozier, I guess, a day off. I didn't hear about any injuries there. But Anthony Rendon, 1-for-4 with a double. And Anibal Sanchez asked for the Nationals 7 innings pitch, 2 hits, 2 runs, a walk. Didn't get the decision. Drops his ERA to 4.86. Had a nice little season for the Nationals last year. Melky Cabrera. for the Pirates. Remember him, George? 3-for-4, hit his first home run of the season, batting .432. What do you think about his fantasy outlook, or does he have one? I mean, this guy every once in a while he reminds you that he's still in the league, right? He could hit, batting .432. By the way, I do like his DFS potential today, believe it or not, against he has some good numbers against Scherzer. Yeah, okay. So what do you think about Melky Cabrera?
The milkman, amazing how his career went downhill since he got caught with the steroids, right, and had the fake stuff. Really hasn't worked out for him all that well. I think it was leading the National League in hitting, and then down the tubes.
Yeah.
Real quick. But he can still hit. I mean, he really can still hit, so he should help the Pirates. As for helping your fantasy team, I mean, once again, the power, no. He's not going to help you with power, not going to help you with speed. So it's average you're looking for here. But the average is important. You know, if he can, he's not going to bat with 400. All right, so let's get that out. But I think he could be a plus average event if they're all said and done. So that interests me because, once again, you know, sometimes we forget in fantasy, we're not looking to field the best players. Right, we got to fill these five categories, you know, and average is generally one where we suffer. Generally, maybe you don't. I do. So I'm looking for an average guy, and Melky could be that guy. He's my fifth outfielder. For me, I'll say it over and over again, Joe. My fifth outfielder, that middle infielder, maybe the corner infielder, but maybe the middle infielder. That's got to be my speed guys I'm generally looking for, or average. You know, those are two categories generally I'm looking to beef up in. I generally have power, and if you have power, you generally have RBIs. And generally have runs there, too. It all goes together. But power and speed and average is generally where I need to pay attention to make sure I'm hitting those categories. So that's what that's what I would use those positions for. And Melky can help you in average.
Yep. Before we head out to commercial, Chris Archer, 7 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, a run. Now has an ERA of 2. We talked about how, the Rays – you know, got back Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow, and that's really worked out for them. Archer's been pitching very well for the Pirates as well.
Well, he better, because that trade right now is being a killer, and Archer didn't pitch well last year when coming over. Once again, maybe needed a year adjustment. I mean, once again, it's small sample sizes for all these guys. But Austin Meadows looks like he's finally going to reach that potential. You know, we know Glasnow was another big-time prospect, and he looks like he's going to reach it. So Archer better do what he can do. He really better, because that's a trade that could really haunt Pittsburgh to lose two young guys like that.
Who's Pittsburgh? Remind me, their top pitching coach, guru. So maybe that'll work out for
Archer. Is that Miller?
Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
I think it's Miller.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, more Game of Thrones, more baseball box scores, fantasy previews, Blue Jays, Rays next. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Searage, that's the...
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galena, along with George Kurtz, and the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, celebrating the return of Game of Thrones, recapping last night's action in Major League Baseball, and analyzing what the results could mean for your fantasy team going forward. So I want to remind you, my buddy Ryan Hallam, he runs the Fighting Chance fantasy site. You follow him at Fighting Chance. He's got this Game of Thrones contest where the winner would win a free T-shirt of your choosing from RotoWear. So just reach out to him at Fighting Chance on Twitter, and he'll send you a it's basically a Word document where you fill out whether or not you think one of the characters is going to be alive, dead, or will become a White Walker. Then he's got some bonus questions as well. So far, I'm having Jon Snow and Sansa Stark as being alive. Next one on his list is Arya Stark. You know, she ends up being what, some kind of a killer, right? Like, you know, she basically studied and she's got some skills there. She's got some mad skills, guys. So what do we think about Arya Stark? Alive, dead, or does she become a White Walker?
You know, Arya's become sort of like a fan favorite. We all like Arya, right? For everything she's had to go back home. Mm-hmm. Knowing this show, when you like somebody, they kill them off. Right? That's what this show loves to do, man. Uh-huh. So I'm going to say I think they kill off her.
Wow. All right, Sean. Anything you want to add to that?
I am going to say that Arya actually makes it all the way to the end. She's going to be alive by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Like I said earlier, I mean, I think the Starks have suffered enough. but George brings up a great point. You know, like what was it? Season one, Ned Stark gets his head chopped off. So it wouldn't surprise me, but I think she makes it to the end as well. And Bran Stark is the next one. And, you know, I think a lot of people think that he might end up making it to the actual throne. So we'll talk about him, whether or not we think alive, dead, or if he becomes a White Walker. Good stuff. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, I don't know if you could pick anyone to become a White Walker, because you got to think at the end, all the White Walkers will be defeated. So therefore, they'll be dead.
You hope, yeah. Well, you hope and then you don't, because every good story needs a great villain, right? Just like
there'll be one at the end where you'll see his eyes open at the end, you know, oh, still alive.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
that sort
right,
of thing.
Right.
But
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to pick any of these characters to be a White Walker, though, because I think technically they'll be dead.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Walkers, they just released, I think it was Friday, the trailer to the next Star Wars movie. I think it's called Rise of Skywalker or something like that. And I was telling Sean before the show, we were chatting how, you know, I was watching it and getting chills just from watching it. So, you know, this is not a spoiler because you could just watch the trailer. But Emperor Palpatine, right? We last saw him, you know, technically Darth Vader picked him up and threw him down a shaft and we thought he was dead. But suppose he's been work. You know, he had done some work on trying to become immortal. But you know, he's going to be in this next movie, the Rise of Skywalker. So it's pretty awesome stuff. So I guess I'm showing my geekdom today, right? You know, talking a lot of Game of Thrones. You know, maybe we'll talk Gotham next, because you know, I was talking to Sean before, and I think he mentioned how. You know, with the Game of Thrones books, you know, they take a little liberty and kind of, you know, they take the base from what was written in the books, but then, you know, kind of expand on it. And that's what they did with the show Gotham. Gotham talks about how, you know, Gotham City before Batman became Batman. And then you get to see the introduction of all these, you know, supervillains, you know, Penguin and the Joker and, you know, Bane. And the way that they come to being is different than what you read in the comic book. So, yeah, whatever. All right, let's talk the Blue Jays and the Rays. Blue Jays beat the Rays 3-1. They are now 5-10. The Rays are 11-4. Still remain in first place in the AL East. George, we talked about Austin Meadows was 2-for-3, now batting .385 with 16 runs batted in. Kevin Kiermaier, if this guy could ever stay healthy for a full season, he'd be something, huh? 1-for-4, with .304 batting average, stole a base. On the Blue Jays side, Randall Grichuk signed that extension, but 1-for-4, 3 strikeouts, 3 runners left on base, batting just .192 on the season. What are your thoughts of Randall Grichuk? I mean, basically a guy that give you mid-20 home runs, you know, batting average what? Maybe .250? By the end of the year,
thing. You're trading average for power here. What do you need more?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's not a must guy you must have, but if you need the power, I think 25, 28 home runs could certainly happen, but you're going to eat it with average. Yeah, and that's going to be the issue there. 250 is probably, I'll take that. I don't mind that you can make that up, but it could, 240, 230 wouldn't shock me either.
Right.
That's the issue there. I think there's more downside here than upside. So I'm very careful.
Yep. Blake Snell doing more Blake Snell kind of things, at least what he's been doing recently last year. The AL Cy Young Award winner yesterday, 6 innings pitched, 0 runs, 9 Ks, and more importantly, just gave up 1 walk. Didn't get the decision. The walks had been an issue, previously, but ended up getting that fixed last year and basically continuing where he left off. Clay Buchholz, George, made his season debut, and last year kind of tweaked his whole repertoire and pitched for the Diamondbacks. 16 starts, 2.01 ERA, was 7-2. Showed some good control, some of the best control of his career last year. A little over 7 strikeouts per 9, but just 2 walks per 9. And pitched pretty well yesterday, George. He's pitching for a team that's not going to win that many games, but 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 2 strikeouts, but no walks. So what do you think about Clay Buchholz? What do you think of him at all?
Nope, not really. Not worried about Buchholz. Not adding him to my team or anything like that. It's going to be a desperation move. Streamers, that sort of thing. One thing I am thinking of is that the Cubs and Angels have already been postponed today. So
really?
No Chris Bryant, no Anthony Rizzo, no Javier Baez for anybody.
That's bad.
No word yet on when the makeup game will be, but that game has already been postponed.
Okay. Well, you know what? From a fan standpoint, I like that they announce it early. Sometimes, they just wait to make the decision. I guess they're looking at the radar and whatnot, but at least
it must be terrible. The radar has to be terrible for them to cancel this game because, remember, this is the Angels and Cubs. Angels aren't coming back to Chicago. So they're going to have to find a makeup date. The Angels will go play the White Sox. Maybe they can they have a day off. Both teams have a day off after or before. Maybe they can make it up then, but that's going to be a rough one. Like I said, no terrain out this game. So the weather must be horrific for them to cancel it already. So I'm surprised here.
Horrific and frightful.
It must be wet. Okay? Yeah. Very wet.
All right, so we talked to Rays and Jays. By the way, Rays 11-4 have a 4.5 game lead over your New York Yankees and a 5 game lead over the surging Orioles 6-9, Blue Jays 5-10, 6 games back. Red Sox also 5-10 in last place, along with the Blue Jays, 6 games back. But let's move to the AL East and match up with the Braves and the Mets. Braves 11, Mets 7. Braves now 8-6, and the Mets 9-5. So let's see that. What does that put the division? Mets in first place at 9-5. Phillies half a game back, 8-5. Braves now, like I mentioned, 8-6, a game back. Nationals 7-6, 1.5 games back, and the Marlins 4-11, 5.5 back. So it's any one of those top four teams, George, could end up winning this division, in my opinion.
Yeah, but saying it all pretty much all year, this is the division from hell. They're all good teams. Mets, Phillies, Braves, Nats. These are all good teams. My guess is whichever one stays the healthiest and makes the right moves during the year, the big trade, will probably win the division. It wouldn't shock me if both wildcard teams come from this division. But I don't think it will happen because they're all going to beat up on each other. So I think that gives the edge maybe to St. Louis Cardinals or Milwaukee Brewers, whoever doesn't win the National League Central, that the Cubs ever wake up. The National League West looks lost. That's just Dodgers are the only team there. Colorado's not playing very well. So it might be a shame that one of these four teams can't make the playoffs. They can't all make it, and maybe two don't make it. So because, like I said, they're going to beat the snot out of each other. And if you can't, if one team doesn't dominate the others, then it's hard for two teams from this division to both make the wild card. Certainly one will.
Right, right.
But the second one might end up being from the Milwaukee-St. Louis loser.
Good analysis there. Okay, so from this game, Jeff McNeil, 2-for-5, played a little second and third, batting 364 in the season. Pete Alonso, 1-for-4, RBIs were scattered all over the place for the Mets. They scored seven runs. Jason Vargas, third of an inning, four runs charged to him. On the Braves side, unfortunately, Sean Newcomb didn't pitch much better than Vargas. 1.1 innings, gave up four runs, two walks. Walks have always been an issue for Newcomb in the past. You know, Braves needed a good start out of Newcomb.
Well, they might have needed it, but they didn't get it. Toussaint came on and played and pitched great. You know, the Braves are loaded with young pitching talent.
Yes,
so
he did.
Newcomb fails. Toussaint does great. You know, we got Fulton Amos coming back probably next weekend. We thought he'd be back tonight, but they decided to move that along because he wasn't in his last rehab start. It rained. He couldn't pitch more than, I think it was 61 pitches. They want to get him up to 80, 85. So I get it. But you would have thought he's, you know, just make him throw in the bullpen then. But anyway, Fulton Amos should be back too. So someone else going to have to go. They already said Kyle Wright.
Well, Kyle Wright.
We said that yesterday. Yeah, we said that yesterday. He was probably going to be the guy, the loser out here. Fried pitched well in his last start, so maybe he stays. Like I said, this could be a rotating all season long, where they keep going back from one guy to the next because they have these kind of options, and then go with the hot guy. So I don't know if you can rely on any one of these guys, but you would think that Toussaint, at the very least, has earned himself another start.
Yeah, six shutout innings pitched in relief, seven strikeouts. We talked about Dansby Swanson yesterday in terms of a waiver wire ad. Was 1-for-4 with three runs batted in. Two hits each for Ozzie Albies, Josh Donaldson, Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis. Donaldson and Markakis chipped in for their, I believe it was their first home runs of the year. And, you know, yesterday we touched upon the Ozzie Albies story in terms of, you know, a lot of people upset about the contract that he signed, George. You had mentioned that you had a story about his agent. So I don't know if you have that, you know. You could...
Oh, yeah. Not so much about his agent, but remember, agents in general. Now, he's... Albies and the agent have taken a lot of heat for this contract. Yeah, it was pretty much 7 years, $5 million a year, $35 million. Now, two option years, only $5 million again that go to 45. Mm-hmm. You know, strange that he would sign it because he certainly left. If Albies ends up being a regular, he's probably lost $40 million out of this deal. If he ends up being an all-star player, he's lost $100 million. If he ends up being, you know, a superstar, he's lost $150 million over the course of this deal. That's how much money he's lost
amazing.
Here.
Amazing, yeah.
But I'll say it again. You know, none of us knows what's going on in his life. Well, maybe he needed the money now. And yes, maybe the Braves used that to their advantage. Whatever, that's business. That's leverage, the way it is. You know, and like I said, we don't know. So I'm not going to get in on that because we don't know. Do I think he made a mistake? Probably. Unless you were really desperate for the money now, you almost certainly made a mistake. But either way, it's life-changing money and you'll be fine. What I was saying about the agent, though, because a lot of people are getting on the agent, and rightfully so, mind you. The agent could have told him, listen, this is a low deal. Shouldn't sign it. We don't know. The agent may have said that. But it also could have been that the agent – remember, these agents get paid by percentages. Now, if it's a big agency where they have, you know, 30, 50, 100 clients, well, then, you know, they'll wait out the biggest offers. They don't need any one contract to get paid, you know, for the agent to make a living. Well, this agent's not a big – it's not Ponce. It's a small agency. Maybe I think it might just be him. So, therefore, he does need the one client to get paid. And you wonder if that plays into this as well. He doesn't want to wait 4 years for Albies to hit, you know, free agency or, you know, at least get the arbitration, get the big money. He wants to get paid
good
now.
Point.
And I don't know this. I'm just saying this plays into it as well.
Yeah.
Human nature. Mm-hmm. The agent wants to get paid now. So maybe that's why he didn't try and talk him out of it. And this is just another viewpoint to look at. I know nothing. I can't tell you for sure this happened. But it's just another way of looking at things that maybe the agent, you know, is not so disappointed because he got paid now. Didn't have to wait. We don't know. The bottom line is we don't know. But it's worth mentioning here that, you know, there's a lot of these kind of shenanigans that that go on here. You know, people are mad at Albies are signing. They're mad at the Braves are taking advantage. We don't know. Maybe Albies needed the money now, and the Braves – actually, maybe the Braves were being nice. They had no intention of signing him. But, oh, you know what? You know, this happened. Okay. We'll do this, but it's going to be really team-friendly. We don't know what's going on here. But I don't think there's any doubt the Braves took advantage of this situation. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all.
A side note to this Mets Braves game. Yeah, I saw a notification come through about Ron Darling, and it announced that he was taking a medical leave of absence. And my first instinct, and we talked about this off air, George, was that it had something to do with that the controversy with his new book that's coming out. But I suppose he's going to have surgery next week to remove a mass from his chest. Ron Darling, former star pitcher for the Mets on the 86 World Series team, and also had some good years with the A's.
Yeah, yes, we hope everything's okay. I mean,
sure.
Large mass of a chest certainly doesn't sound good, but you hope everything's okay there. And I thought the same as you when I heard it. I thought this had to do with the Lenny Dykstra lawsuit. I'm like, oh, God,
controversy.
This isn't going well. Dykstra suing him for libel for the what Darling wrote in the book about, I guess, racist taunts at Oil Can Boy during the 86 series. So we'll see how that turns out. Should be, I guess, interesting to say the least. But bottom line is this. We hope everything works out well for Ron Darling.
Absolutely, 100%. And just to touch on, we have probably less than a minute, but Darryl Strawberry, I heard him being interviewed. He said that he didn't think that Lenny Dykstra was a racist, and that he really didn't want to have anything to do with Ron Darling going forward after what he wrote about Lenny Dykstra. Dykstra's kind of like an easy target just in general because he's bit of a wacko,
to say
at least. Yeah,
oh, that's being nice.
And Wally Backman said he didn't hear any racist stuff from him. He was on the on-deck circle with Lenny Dykstra. But we wish Ron Darling the best. And we'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
My angel is a centerfold. Jay Giles Band. One of my favorite, I guess, unknown, unheard of, on bands that we don't hear enough about in my mind there. Fantasy Sports Today. I'm George Kurtz. He's Joe Galina. We'll take you through till 11 a.m. Eastern. And then Joe Gleaner and George Kurtz will take you through till 2 p.m. Eastern as we host a weekend fantasy update as our buddy Cam is in Vegas there. So you just can't get rid of us. And someone else you just can't get rid of. Tune in to Calling the Shots with Keith Irizarry on the FNTSY Sports Radio Network weekdays from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time as Keith takes you around the sporting world, checking in on live game action with a daily stream of notable guests second to none. If you're able to watch the show and not just listen, catch the video feed live or on demand on the FNTSY Sports Network YouTube page or on your favorite OTT provider. It's Calling the Shots with Keith Irizarry on the FNTSY Sports Radio Network and FNTSY Sports Network's YouTube page weekdays from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. Mr. Irizarry, that's going to be a little rough, man. Every night, 8 to 11, keeping track of the games, your guests talking about it. Fun, but interesting. Not the easiest thing.
But you got live games, though. Yeah, I'm sure a challenging show, but also like probably a fast-paced show because you're getting feeds from games, so it's I'm sure it's a lot of fun to do as well. Yeah, Jay Giles, I didn't know that Jay Giles was one of your favorite bands, George. Freeze Frame, Love Stinks, Angel and Centerfold with all the girls dancing around in their panties. I'm sure that
It's rough. I don't know how I could possibly like that band. Terrible. Terrible, I tell you. It's tough. All right. So, I figured for this segment, I'm going to look at the police blotter, all right, for sports news, which is just sad. Philadelphia quarterback Jalen Mills So Philadelphia cornerback Jalen Mills, along with not just Jalen alone, because God forbid, along with it's like, you know, these sports players, man, it's amazing. You keep getting in trouble when you're making all this money. I just don't get it. Along with the Wizards, Robertson was arrested for they were charged with disorderly affray, which apparently means fighting in public, not with each other. Okay, so they were arrested. I just find this amazing. You know, I don't know the story behind it. I imagine someone says something stupid and you feel like you gotta protect yourself, which is just idiotic. You know, people are going to say stupid things. You're a professional athlete. Just forget about it. You know, one ear out the other and move on. But like I said, Jalen Mills and Devin Robinson were arrested after a fight outside a nightclub in Washington. So, like I said, good luck. I don't know what's going to happen here. I mean, neither one's a huge player here. Certainly not no fantasy impact for Jalen Mills, a seventh-round pick. But he played 8 games last season before ending up on IR. But for me, Joe, it's just, you know, again, really, can we stay out of trouble, these athletes, for like one weekend? One?
Who did we talk about yesterday? Leonard Fournette, a driver with a suspended license, right? Here's a guy who's already on thin ice on his team, and now he just keeps on doing dumb things. And, you know, these athletes just have to, you know, keep their head straight. I mean, look, you're getting paid. You know, I mean, we say it all the time. They're getting paid tons of money to play a game that they love. Just, you know, get your head out of your ass, please.
Exactly. I mean, get your head out of your ass. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to protect that money, especially a football player who your career is not going to be long, right? And the football players generally aren't. Of course, some are Tom Brady's. But most, you're going to have 3, 4, 5 years. Make that money. Make that money and do everything you can to protect your ability to make that money. I mean, you said Leonard Fournette, which for those who don't know, Leonard Fournette was arrested. I think it was Friday about 2:30 p.m. for he was caught speeding. And then he had a suspended license over a $204 ticket. It might have been a speeding ticket that he never paid. And he was arrested for this. This is after coming, you know, what happened all the crap last year with Leonard Fournette. He started the fight in the Buffalo Bills game. Had other issues there with the team. The Coughlin pretty much lambasted him. Now reports are he's out of shape this offseason. He's gained 20 pounds. How true that is, I don't know. But those are the reports there. And then you get arrested for $204. $204 to a Leonard Fournette is like $5 to you or I. Yeah, you pay it, you move on. Or you get your lawyer to get into it, and you move on. You don't
current salary, George.
Stuff like this can happen.
Current salary, according to Pro Football Reference for Leonard Fournette, $2,933,258.
So, I mean, that's not even kind of a signing bonus he got when he signed. I mean, come on. Pay. What are you doing? I mean, really, what are you doing? I mean, like, if you think that it was given to you erroneously, well, then get your lawyer involved. You certainly have one. You have an agent. He'll hire you somebody. It makes little sense to me. Little sense to me that they do this and they get themselves in more trouble. So, listen, Jacksonville has the 7th overall pick in the draft, right behind the Giants. We know they're not going to take a quarterback because they, you know, got Nick Foles. I don't think they'll take a running back that early, but they're going to have to look at one eventually.
Right, I doubt it.
Maybe the second round. Maybe the second round they're going to look at a running back because – you obviously can't. I think they want to build their team around Fournette. I do. But you can't rely on this guy. You just can't do it.
Would you build it around him? Or, I mean, is it Nick Foles that they want to build it around at this stage?
You can't build it around Nick Foles. He's not that kind of quarterback. He's a system quarterback, which maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But they don't have the wide receivers there. They have some decent guys with no game breakers. So I think you had to be developed around the running game. And Fournette, listen,
you think the defense is strong enough where they don't have to go after a defensive guy early? Would they go after an offensive guy? You think maybe, you know, at the 7th pick, maybe go for wide receiver? That might be too soon, no?
No, that's too soon, yeah.
Maybe they could trade defense draft. And get multiple picks back.
That's an option, especially if the Giants were to pass on Haskins at 6. You know, I think that would be an option. Maybe Denver moves up. Maybe Washington moves up. How about Cincinnati? Miami.
Right.
I think Miami's playing more for next year, mind you. I think that's when they were.
Oh,
I think Miami is tanking. Where next year's a strong quarterback draft. Miami's going to suck. If you're looking for a team that might go 0-16, Miami's it. They're going to be terrible. You know, they're going to be really, really bad. And they want to be really bad. Don't get me wrong. They're tanking. They want to tank. Mm-hmm. They're playing for next year. Next year is a much stronger quarterback draft, for those who don't know. So that's why they're doing what they're doing. Because once again, they think they have a better chance of getting a quarterback next year. But there's a chance that someone like Haskins could fall, although they could trade up to get him. So I wonder if they would do it. Washington certainly needs a quarterback. So, like I said, if the Giants pass on Haskins,
too.
Mm-hmm. He has. There's been some. Once again, I don't know. I never know how much I believe this because there could be other teams who are bad mouthing because they want to grab him. So they bad mouth him.
Right.
That happens. Don't kid yourself. It happens. So I always.
I know. You know, I agree with
stuff
you.
Like
yeah.
That with a grain of salt there. He's dropping. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. We really don't know. Everybody's lying at this time of year. So another thing I found, I found this hilarious yesterday. This whole Robert Kraft thing I think is funny as hell. All right. You know, he got caught pretty much getting his knob rubbed, which is fine. You know what? I really don't care. The human trafficking thing that I did care more about, but even that looks like it may not be a part of this. And certainly what Kraft had nothing to do with that anyway. But I love all the lawyer antics that go on here. You know, for, lawyers doing everything they can. Kraft's guilty. We all know he's guilty. You know, Kraft pretty much admitted as much as he's guilty, but now they're trying to get it. You know, first, it was a legal search. Now we don't want the video released. You know, so what you're saying is he is guilty because now you're trying to say the search is illegal, which means he's guilty. All right. Is that you're saying? And from the sounds of it, by the way, the search might have been illegal. I don't know exactly how the law works, but apparently the police, they put a phone in a bomb threat to the place, to the massage parlor, so they could put in cameras. That sounds illegal to me. And, you know, and then they pulled Robert Kraft's, they pulled the vehicle Robert Kraft was in over so they could get his ID and make sure it was actually Robert Kraft. That sounds illegal too. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the exact nature of it, but that sounds fishy to say the least. So a lawyer may be onto something here. But Kraft is still guilty. Now, my point is this: I don't care what punishment Kraft gets. He's not going to get jail time, maybe a fine and some community service. But I want to know what Goodell is going to do, because what does the NFL keep saying? That the owners, you know, or employees besides the players have to be held to a higher standard. Okay. You keep suspending these players with no evidence, right? I mean, there is no evidence against Ezekiel Elliott. You've suspended them. That's happened to other players as well. Let's see what you're going to do now to Kraft, an organization that's done things over and over again that have been fishy, right? Spygate, Deflategate, all this other stuff. And now pretty much Kraft was caught. Well, let's face it, he was caught with his pants down. So what's going to happen here? I am so curious to see what Kraft's going what Goodell's going to do to Kraft.
Well, I mean, Goodell makes a ton of money for the league and for the owners. And at the same time, you know, it's a mutual relationship. So, you know, he's got to keep the owners happy. And so it will be interesting. You bring up Zeke. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's not, you know, a choir boy, but, you know, he wasn't indicted, right? He wasn't indicted, which means he wasn't convicted, but he was still suspended, received that long-term suspension. So, you know. Basically, both sides, the ownership and the commissioner, you know, hand in hand, just making each other a bunch of money.
Yeah, I just – and they do. And let's face it, I don't get on Goodell, mind you. Goodell gets paid to be the owner's mouthpiece, to take all the heat for the owners. That's exactly why he gets paid. Why? Because everybody yells at Goodell, but no one's yelling at Jerry Jones. No one's yelling at Kraft or Daniel Snyder. Goodell takes the bullets.
Yeah, he's taking the heat.
That's
you'll see that in 2 weeks at the draft.
Yes. I mean, everybody boom. There's no doubt about that. I don't think Goodell cares. I'll take $45 million to the bank and get booed. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Boo me all you like. Mm-hmm. But I always find it funny that fans don't realize this. Goodell is just doing what the owners want. You know, the owner's the ones you have to get on, not Goodell. But that
I
being
think
said.
About the success of the NFL.
Oh,
in terms of just a money-making machine year-round, you know, they're in the news year-round. I mean, it's an impressive, especially after you just saw what happened to the AAF. And now, you know, if I'm Vince McMahon, I see what happened to the AAF, and now he's going to try to start this XFL again. I mean, look, I mean, so it's impressive at how well-run this NFL league
machine.
Look, it basically is a machine. Yeah,
I mean, listen, the AAF, it's a joke now. What now they're not letting players sign contracts with CFL teams. The CFL's been told they can't because in bankruptcy court they view these contracts as assets, so they don't want to lose them. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what a joke. What an absolute joke. It's travesty what's going on in the AAF. It really is. So back to the police blotter. Aaron Hernandez, I don't know if you know, I think Hernandez, he had his conviction overturned because he died. And I think in Massachusetts, if you die before a certain thing or an appeal happens, your conviction gets overturned. And now his lawyers
are. I did not know that, yeah.
Yeah, I knew that. I read about it, that's why I knew it. And now Aaron Hernandez, apparently they're, you know, the prosecution or whatever, the families of the victims are, had it where, no, his conviction is back on. But now Hernandez's lawyer is fighting to have it overturned. It's, once again, the man did it. We all know he did. He was convicted of doing it.
Right.
I just don't get this one. Hernandez's lawyer, the Hernandez family wants to sue the NFL. What for? Because they want his contract enforced. So I think that's a big part of this. Because if he's not convicted, then his contract, New England might have to pay out his contract. It's a complete joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my mind, I mean, the man killed people, deserved what he got as far as jail time. And now you want to get his contract enforced on New England? I just, well, it's just another chapter in a sad, sad case.
You wonder if that contract had, you know, stipulations that if that could be enforced in terms of, like, you know, maybe he doesn't have a conviction, but he was arrested. You know, I'm losing the actual term, you know, you have to be.
I got a clause.
Good, yeah, yeah, no, but yeah, but the specific clause, basically, that you have to be a good citizen. You know, they might have a hard time winning that lawsuit.
I'm surprised more of these contracts don't have clauses like this. You know, right. Hey, you know, you do such and such, you get arrested, you get convicted, you lose your signing bonus, you lose this. The rest of the contract is voided, or it becomes an option, a team option. You know, whatever. I'm surprised more contracts don't have this, just to protect the team. I'm absolutely shocked more contracts don't have this to protect the team, because you would certainly think it would be worthwhile to do it to protect everybody. Why would the player say no? If you say no, that means you're planning on doing some stupid crap?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it makes you look bad. If you,
right, and it makes you look terrible. Yeah. No, I can't sign this. I'm planning on going out and getting arrested. I mean, really?
Maybe we'll say morals clause, maybe. Something
morals
like that,
clause.
Right?
Yeah.
But that could be subjective. Yeah. You know? But look, you know,
well,
morals clause can say, look,
specific
if you get arrested. Right, right.
I'm not even saying arrested. I'm saying convicted. Arrest could happen by mistake. You could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The cops just arrested everybody.
Yes.
And you got arrested. I'm not saying that, but conviction's different.
Right.
You know, yes. Conviction is certainly different here. So I think there should be something. I have, like I said, no problem with something like that. So I am surprised it doesn't happen more often. Once again, you know, you lose your contract, or you know, becomes team option. They can decide now if they want to pay you. That's just the way I should believe it should be. But anyway, nobody really cares what I think in these things. As far as I know, I'm not getting any agents asking me for my opinion. But I'm surprised the more owners haven't fought for this, or more general managers, whatever it is. I'm surprised they haven't fought for something like this. Just like I said, interesting. Something else, we're getting some lineups that are coming in now in Major League Baseball. And it is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Sunday, which means a lot of players are going to sit. So when you do your DFS lineups, for God's sake, make sure you check the lineups to make sure these guys are in your lineup. One guy who is not in the lineup today, Andrew Benintendi, he's out. We already discussed Cubs and Dodgers have been postponed. That game is no makeup date as of yet. I guess they'll figure that out. But Andrew Benintendi out of the lineup.
Let me just take something back to football real quick. You know, we talked April 15th, tax day. Isn't tomorrow the deadline for Russell Wilson and his contract extension, too?
Oh, this. Listen, I got to do a big thing with Cam and Gabe on game time decisions. Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. All right, this is all.
I just saw something saying that, and it's all speculation, that they believe that maybe he really doesn't want to end his career with Seattle, but I guess we'll see. But
it doesn't matter what he wants, right? It doesn't matter. Yeah, he signed this year. They can use a franchise tag next year. So that's 2 years he's there. Now, granted, if he really, really, really doesn't want to play there, okay, you don't sign it to that, and then you could go. You know, I don't think they would franchise him 2 years in a row, but I could be wrong. But he's certainly there the next 2 years. They're not going to trade him. You do not trade franchise quarterbacks, especially ones that top three in the NFL. You can't survive without that. The only way you could possibly do that is if you think your team is, even with Russell Wilson, we're 5 years away. So let's trade for three number ones or four number ones or, you know, whatever. Or two entire drafts from a team. Who the hell knows? It's the only way you would do this. Other than that, Russell Wilson's not going anywhere. He could set the state all he wants. It's not happening. No. Not going anywhere, Joe. Not going anywhere, Cam. Not going anywhere, Gabe. He's staying in Seattle. They're not going to have to worry about it. Short angle, he's not going anywhere. Fantasy Sports Today. I'm George Kurtz. He's Joe Gallina. We'll be back after this.